Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah's daf Yud Aleph. We are on Yud Amud Beis, and we are just wrapping up our discussion of Arla. And so just quick recap of what we did yesterday and then a continuation of today and tomorrow. A lot of calendaric talk and mabul talk. We'll see what I mean in a moment. Anyway, the daf we learned is Zecher Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Yesterday we talked about the mitzvah of Arla, the Isser of Arla. Torah prohibits us to eat the fruit from the tree for the first 3 years. It's found in Parshas Kedoshim. We went through the Pesukim yesterday. And the reckoning of the 3 years, so that's a bit of a trick. It's not easy. We discussed it yesterday, how exactly to reckon the 3 years. And part of the discussion is, how do you count year number one? Year number one is counted either by planting it. In other words, Tishrei is a day in the calendar where we mark the turn of the year. So once the tree passes Tishrei, so that's it, that's in the next year. And then it hits Tishrei again, now it's in the next year. So therefore, for those 3 years, it's going to be prohibited. When exactly do we count year number one? So it doesn't have to be planted for a full year to be counted as year number one, but simply, it's as long as it's planted sometime during the year, even at the end of the year. How much do we mean when we say at the end of the year? So that we said is subject to a major debate. But part of the principle characteristics behind the debate is how much of a year is considered a year. So this turned into a basic machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. I am simplifying the entire discussion that we had yesterday, just for the purposes of clarity. It was a basic machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Meir says Yom Echad. Rabbi Meir says that you just hit one day, and that's it. A day is considered a year. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Elazar says no. 30 days is considered a year. So therefore, how much in anticipation of the Rosh Hashanah do I have to plant in order for it to be considered year number one? So then when we hit our first Rosh Hashanah, that's now going to be year number two. So according to Rabbi Meir, just one day before. According to Rabbi Elazar, 30 days before. Now there's other considerations that we had yesterday in terms of the tree taking root. When all said and done, you look at the Shulchan Aruch, you look at the Rambam. So 44 days is a magical number. It's not a magical number, but that's the number. The number is 44. So you plant a tree 44 days, a month and a half prior to Tishrei. So that counts as year number one. And now we hit your first Rosh Hashanah, and already now you're into year number two. And as we pointed out yesterday, part of the complexity of the matter is based on the fact that when you hit now your third Rosh Hashanah, so in your fourth year, so at that point in time you don't get to eat the fruit yet, even though any fruits that come after that third Rosh Hashanah, you don't get to eat the fruits yet. You're going to have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. Right, that's what we recorded yesterday. How do we know that? We quoted Pesukim. Right, remember the Pasuk says, Uva Shana Harivis, and we had that Vav, meaning that you can still be in the fourth year, and it still have an Arla status, and an Arla status will continue until Tu B'Shvat. So when all said and done, there's just a quick summary of yesterday. You have to plant the tree 44 days prior to Rosh Hashanah to count that as year number one, and then years two, year three, and then when you're in year four, you still can't enjoy the fruit until after Tu B'Shvat, which means that the fruit has to blossom after Tu B'Shvat. Any blossoming of a fruit prior to Tu B'Shvat has an Arla status. That's what we said yesterday. That was our conclusion. Right, correct. Correct, right.
Is it 6 months together?
Huh?
Are they 6 months apart?
I don't know. You could do the. You could sit there and do the. Do the math, but I don't know. Okay, and that was what we discussed yesterday. So in the middle of that discussion, we had a very basic machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar in terms of whether or not, how do we reckon a year? Is a year, in other words, we don't need to go all 365 days, or if you want to say lunar, all 354 days, you don't have to do that. You just simply have to have a certain amount of year. How much amount do you have? Do you need? Rabbi Meir says a day. Rabbi Elazar says a month. The Gemara points out, this machlokes can be seen in Chumash. Or at least we could see both opinions in Chumash. So this is where we left off yesterday. This is right where we pick it up today. We're on Yud Amud Beis. We're right in the middle of the Amud, where the Gemara starts off, Amar Rav Yochanan. It's right in the middle. It's halfway down, halfway up. Second words in the line. Amar Rav Yochanan, Ushne Mikra Echa Darshu. They are both generating this opinion from one pasuk. The pasuk says, "Be'achad v'sheish me'el shana b'rishon be'achad l'chodesh." We are post deluge. The Torah tells us in Parshas Noach that there was a mabul. I'm sure you've heard the mabul. We'll talk in detail between today and tomorrow. we will talk in detail about the flood. In fact, we're going to speak in such detail about the flood, we're going to talk about the constellation of stars during the flood. So tomorrow, let's say we're not going to do it today, even though it's on the Amud Beis, but it's on the end of the Amud Beis, and I'm anyway going to just stop, even if we get there. Tomorrow we will do constellation talk, but we will speak in detail about the Mabul. So good advice between today and tomorrow is to go over the Psukim and review the Psukim in Parshas Noach. So we are right now looking at the end of the Mabul. We're in Perek Ches, towards the end. And when did all this come to an end? In year 601. The Pasuk says, Vayibachas v'shesh me'oshana, in year 601, Barishon b'chalachodesh. And we are in month number one, and we're in day number one. Okay, so a lot of the confusion is going to revolve around the fact that we don't know which month we're talking about. Right, and as you probably realize that over the last number of days in the Daf, meaning the Torah does not actually have names for the months. The months just simply go by a number. And the number is based on what? Relative to what? So it's a bit of an issue. So you'll see, we're going to be a little bit confused right now, but that's fine. And you'll see, but the basic point of the Gemara is going to be pretty clear. Rabbi Meir Savar Midikat Yamachad Hu Dial B'Shana V'Kakari Le Shana Shema Mina Yamacha B'Shana Chashuv Shana. So Rabbi Meir says, look, whichever month it is, it could be Tishrei, it could be Nisan, whichever month it is, the point is as follows. We are right now 1 day into the next year. Now we know for sure. Meaning it's the first day of the first month of the next year. And meanwhile, how's the Torah regard it? The Torah calls it the 601st year, even though we're only 1 day into the year. Rameir says, evidence. It's a good proof that I'm right, that even though we're 1 day into the year, it's still considered a year. It's still the 601st year. The Idach, now if you wanted to counter that argument, the Gemara says you could do so. If the Torah would have just simply said flatly, this is year 601, Kidekamart, I would then give it to you. That would have been excellent proof, but that's not what the Torah says. Hash dechsiv ba'achas v'sheish me'o shana. In 1 and 600. So, ashesh me'o skai. So, shana ashesh me'o skai. The year, in other words, the label, shana, is going on 600. Meaning, how many years are we talking about? Year 600. By the way, 600 since what? Since the birth of Noach. So we're really in year 600. And then, umayachas, atchalta da'achas kamar. And when the Torah says achas, it means, and oh, by the way, we are now coming on to the next year. But the Torah is not describing this as being year 601. This is still year 600. And the fact that the 1 day in, the Torah is recognizing that by saying the word achas. But it's not year 601. And why not? Because we're only a day into the next year. It's not year 601. Okay. So, we have attempted to prove, disprove whether a day into the year or a month into the year is considered a year. So we have what could be an argument for Rabbi Meir. The Gemara tries to present an argument now for Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar, my time to see Bereshon Bechad L'Chodesh Shmed Dekati Yom Echad Hu Da'ayol B'Chodesh V'Kakari Lei Chodesh Shema Meina Yom Echad B'Chodesh Chashuv Chodesh Umi Yom Echad B'Chodesh Chashuv Chodesh Lamed Yom B'Shana Chashuvim Shana. And I'll read just a little bit more. V'Chodesh Lemnuyav V'Shana Lemnuyav. So the Gemara, so a proof for Rav Elazar is as follows. What is the unit of counting for a month? Days. In other words, when we count a month, the unit of measurement to get to a month is days. A month is comprised of days. So when we're a day into the month, so we could say now we are in this month, right? Or, right, we are here in this month, even though we're only a day in. So the argument Rav Elazar would make is it's a svar argument. It's not based on psukim. But if that's true regarding a month, so now let's go to a year. What is the unit of measurement for a year? A month. We count years by months. Rashi says that we know that l'chadshei hashana. That's based on a pasuk. Rashi quotes the pasuk. So the unit of measurement for a year is a month. So just like when it comes to a month, the unit of measurement is a day. And once we go into a day, now we consider ourselves to have been in that month. So too regarding a year. Since the unit of measurement for a year is a month, so therefore you need to go over an entire month in order to say now, we are in this year. So that is a proof for Rabbi Elazar. Okay?
Going by Noah's birth, it completed 600 years.
Right. It will be, I'll tell you what, one of the things which the Gemara will do seamlessly, and the Gemara doesn't make a comment about it, is that the assumption is that Noach's years and the world's years are one and the same. But it is a good point. The Gemara doesn't mention that. The Gemara just assumes that they're the same. They're the same numbers. Okay, that's very very well done. Okay, now good. We're at the bottom of the Amud. We're on Yud Amud, bottom of Yud Amud Beis, and that next line, which is in parentheses, Rashi says keep it in parentheses. Rashi says that we're not going with that next line of Gemara because right now. That line indicates that everyone holds that the world was created in Nisan, and as Rashi points out, that's not necessarily so. Meaning, as okay, leave it out. It's not pertinent to the discussion. Tanya, we continue. Rabbi Lazar Amar B'Tishrei Nevar Olam B'Tishrei Noldu Avos. I'm sorry. Let me go slow over here. We're going to now go over major historical events in our history, not based on years, but based on months. What month did what happen? So, Rabbi Eliezer says, "B'Tishrei Nevar Olam." So, first of all, when was the world created? So, Rabbi Eliezer says the world was created in Tishrei. Okay, we all think that way. I mean, for good reasons. We get to Rosh Hashanah, and what do we say? Hayom Haras Olam. Right? Today is the birthday of the world. Right? We say that. You say that also. I know Chaim makes fun of me because the Ashkenazim say Hayom Haras Olam. If you know modern Hebrew, so that means today we destroy the world. So the what could I tell you? We're Ashkenazim. That's how we speak. So the So the world was created in Tishrei. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And B'Tishrei Noldu Avos. All our forefathers were born in Tishrei. Now, by the way, when I say all, I don't mean all. I mean what I mean. The Braisa means most of them. Well, considering the fact that there are only three of them, so most of them is going to be two. So Avram and Yaakov were born in Tishrei. Yitzchak was born in Pesach, as the Braisa is about to say. So Noldu Avos B'Tishrei, Mesu Avos B'Pesach, and the Avos died on Pesach. Nolad Yitzchak B'Rosh Hashanah. Yitzchak was born on Rosh Hashanah. I'm sorry, other way around. Right? I'm sorry, confused myself and everybody. The Braisa says that the Avos were born in Tishrei. Yitzchak was born on Rosh Hashanah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm confused. I apologize. Let me do this again. Rabbi Lazar Amar B'Tishrei Nevar Olam. Okay, if I had the ability, the capability, I'd go back and I erase the last minute of tape. Anyway, Rabbi Lazar Amar B'Tishrei Nevar Olam. So the world was created in Tishrei. B'Tishrei Noldu Avos. The Avos were born in Tishrei. B'Tishrei Mesu Avos. So the Avos died in Tishrei. B'Pesach Nolad Yitzchak. Yitzchak was born in Pesach. B'Rosh Hashanah Nifkad Asara Racha V'Chana on Rosh Hashanah. So Sarah, Rachel, and Hannah were remembered. Remembered means Kadosh Baruch Hu took into consideration their plight. They all suffered the same fate. They were all childless. Kadosh Baruch Hu took that into consideration on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Two of those three, by the way, we read on Rosh Hashanah. I'm sure you realize that. Rosh Hashanah Yatzei Yosef Mebeis Asurim. Rosh Hashanah left jail on Rosh Hashanah. How many years did Yosef spend in jail? 12. 12 years. 12 years he spent in jail. he left Israel when he was 17. He left as a choice. He left it when he was 17, and he got out of jail when he was 30. So right. So huh? Well, a year he spent not being in jail. He didn't spend every moment in Egypt in jail. Just most every moment. I mean, up until when he left. Rosh Hashanah batla avoda me'avosenu b'Mitzrayim. On Rosh Hashanah, we stopped working in Mitzrayim. Meaning 210 years of slavery, to be a little bit more accurate, 209 years and 6 months of slavery. The last 6 months that we were in Egypt, we were not enslaved. B'Nisan nigalu, B'Tishrei asinu ligal. On Nisan, we were redeemed. Okay, I think we know that. The Torah mentions that. And in Tishrei, we're going to be redeemed in the Geula Asida. Rav Yehoshua Amar Benis. Okay, Adkan, we can pause. We're right in the middle of a Braisa. But the point being is that now we have laid out all the months in terms of major historical events, starting from the creation of the world ending at the Geula Sida, the future redemption, and basically what months everything happened. Truth of the matter is, you really only have 2 months to choose from. It's either Tishrei or it's Nisan. It's just a question of which major historical events took place either in Tishrei or in Nisan. According to Rabbi Eliezer, let's just key in on the first point of the Braisa, which is that the world was created in Tishrei. Contrast that to Rabbi Yoshua. We're now on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and we are now up to the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua Amar, Benisa Nivra HaOlam. On Nisan, the world was created. So what does he do with the Nusach of Ayam HaRas Olam? I don't know. I don't know if that's such a major kasha. So the Benisa Nivra HaOlam, Benisa Noldu Avos, all of our Avos were born in Nisan, and now we can, right? And now we could say it. This is where I was confused before. All of them, meaning Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Benisa Noldu Avos, Benisan Mesu Avos, the Avos died in Nisan, Bepesach Nolad Yitzchak, Yitzchak was born on Pesach. Rosh Hashanah Nifkeda Sar Rachel V'Chana. On Rosh Hashanah, so Rachel Chana have been remembered. Same as Rabbi Eliezer. Rosh Hashanah Yishana Yatsa Yosef Mibes Asurim. Yosef left Jail on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Badla Avona Me'avoseinu B'Mitzrayim. We stopped working on Rosh Hashanah. Again, all these same as Rabbi Eliezer. And Benisa Nigalu Benisa Nesinim Ligal. And once again now, a major departure from Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua was of the opinion that on Nisan we were exiled. Well, I'm sorry, we were redeemed. Apologies. We were redeemed. Well, obviously that's the same. And then in Nisan, we're going to be redeemed in the future as well. So again, starting point, end point, Nisan. World was created in Nisan. The Geula Asida is going to take place in Nisan. That kind of takes us to the end of this Braisa. So this Braisa over here is just very basic, very fundamental, and also fundamental debate when the world was created. Either the world was created in Nisan or the world was created in Tishrei. Legabe us, vis-a-vis us, how does that impact our lives? Meaning, practically speaking, what difference would it make? So we already mentioned. Tkufas, meaning the seasons began when... So if the world was created in Tishrei, so that means that the world was set in motion in Tishrei. So all of our constellations, all of our figuring of constellations start with Tishrei. So that includes Birchas HaChama after 28 years, complex issue, and Molad, right? Exactly the figuring and the factoring of the Molad, which is a constant number that starts from the first day from the beginning of creation. So that's important to know when creation was. Was it in Tishrei? Was it in Nisan? Good. That's how it would affect us. Tanya. The Gemara here quotes the Braisa, and more on this discussion. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Minayin Shebe Tishrei Nivra Olam. So this Braisa now is going to give us a little more details in terms of the basis of this machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Once again, we start with Rabbi Eliezer. How do I know that the world was created in Tishrei Shenema? Vayom Elokim Tachi Aretz Desha, Eitz of Mazria Zera, Eitz Pri. Okay, we're looking at actually Maisa Bereishis. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the trees. Ezu Chodesh Aretz Motzia Deshayim. Now, when is the month that the grass is ready to sprout? The Elon Malei Peiros, and that the trees were filled with fruit. Havi Omer Zed Tishrei. That is the month of Tishrei. Here is an assumption the Gemara is making, and that is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, He created it with the seasons. And when we say seasons, do not consider right now the seasons that we get to enjoy here in South Florida. The seasons we're talking about are the seasons in Eretz Yisrael. It's the center, it's the epicenter. So think about the seasons in Eretz Yisrael. So what do we know? Anyone who's spent any serious time in Eretz Yisrael, so you know. So that it rains in Cheshvan, hopefully. That's at least we pray for it. It rains in Cheshvan, and it continues up until the spring, basically up until Pesach, and that's it. And then what happens from Pesach until Sukkot? No rain. Over 6 months in Eretz Yisrael without rain. And that... There's a Sforno. I didn't want to bring it up. there's a Sforno who writes... It's a very interesting Sforno. He writes it a couple times in Chumash. In Parshas Noach. He writes that the, I mentioned this, I find this to be interesting, I wasn't going to bring it up. He writes that the earth did not go on a tilt. The earth's axis was not on a tilt. It was on a perfect 90 degree perpendicular angle with the sun, and the Sforno writes that there were no seasons. And the marble changed everything, meaning that with the marble basically came a world catastrophe, it was a world calamity, and actually put the world on its tilt. And the fact that he's talking in these terms is unbelievable, at least to me. But he makes an excellent diuk. The Sforno points out that when's the first time that the Torah actually mentions seasons? After the Mabul. The Torah does not mention a word about seasons before the Mabul. You go to Parshas Noach. It's your homework for tonight anyway. So you'll see in Parshas Noach, it's the first time that the Torah actually mentions seasons. All right. What the Sforno is going to do with this Gemara over here, I don't know. But it's a good point. So the Ilam Male Peros Have Omer Zetishrei. So the assumption the Gemara is making is that there are seasons, and we're looking at the rain seasons in Eretz Yisrael. It starts raining in the fall, right after Sukkos, and so therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating the world for the grass ready to grow, well, obviously it's going to be in Tishrei. That's the argument of Rabbi Eliezer. Have Omer Zetishrei. We also have Perek Zman Revia Haisa. And that is a Zman Revia. You will see that term again and again. We're going to get to Masech Tanis shortly enough, and you're going to see that term Revia. Revia is the term for the rains. And when we get to the Mishnayos in Tanis, I'll explain to you a little bit better why that terminology of Revia. So Zman Revia Haisa. V'yardug Shamim V'tzimchu. And the rain comes down, and now the vegetation is growing. Shenamar. And again, Eid Yalem and Arut. Look at the Pesukim and Maisa Brachos. And a mist goes up from the ground. In other words, there's some form of precipitation. So all this has got to be taking place in Tishrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot create the world in Nisan and then have no rain. Now, obviously, we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything can happen. But based on nature as we know it, this seems to be the most sensible approach, that he created in Tishrei, now ready for the rains that are coming in Cheshvan. That is an argument on behalf of Rabbi Eliezer. Now the Gemara turns to Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua, Armei Minayin Sheben Nisan Nivra Olam. How do I know that the world was created in Nisan? Shenem Avitose Aretz Dasha Eitz of Mazriel Zera. The Eitz Oseh Pri. The Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created grass, seeds, and trees producing fruit. Eizu Chodesh Aretz Malei Adishayim Ve'ilam Motzei Peros. Now, when are you going to find fruit on the trees? That is in the springtime. The springtime is when you're going to find fruit on the trees. Have you omer zenisan? Ve'osto aperek zman. Behema v'chayvov shim is davkin zeitzel zem. And not only that, but spring, love is in the air. The animals are mating with one another. And how do we know this? We've spent a daf already discussing this. Shenem olav shukarim matzon. Remember, we had the discussion of Maiser Behema? The daf on Maisa Behema, and what do we say? We said that the animals get pregnant in the month of Nisan. And if they're getting pregnant in the month of Nisan, that means that they're delivering their babies 5 months later. We talked only about the small animals. For reasons that still are beyond me, we did not talk about the large animals, we spoke about the small animals, but still, same point basically being made. And that when it comes to the mating of these animals that occurs in the springtime, and the birth comes 5 months later. But point being, we're looking at a season where the fruit are on the tree, the animals are mating with one another, that's the springtime, that's Nisan, the world was created in Nisan. Okay, so basically we have a Braisa, so we have now strong arguments on behalf of Rabbi Eliezer, the rain comes, that's the fall, or strong arguments for Rabbi Yehoshua, fruit on the tree, springtime, mating, that's a proof for Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara gives a little bit back and forth on this, that's the end of the Braisa. The Gemara now wants to know what's each position going to do with the other argument. V'dechnami aksiv eitz oseh pri. So the Gemara says, what about the fact that the Torah says that it's producing fruit? It's not producing fruit. Lebracha l'darsu dechsiv. Yeah, you're right. It's not producing fruit. When the Torah says that the tree is going to produce fruit, that's a bracha. Right? My bracha to you is that you produce fruit. Okay, and 6 months later, kachaya. The tree started producing fruit. V'dechnami aksiv eitz pri. What are you going to do about the fact that the Torah says eitz pri? Hahu ched Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, dam Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Komaisa breishis, le, or I should say, bi komasam nivru, Lidatam nivru, letzivyonam nivru. So if you are of the opinion that the world was created in Tishrei, so how can there be fruit on the tree? There's no fruit on the tree in Tishrei. The answer, the rebuttal to that would be, there is fruit on the tree in the month of Tishrei. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created a mature world. Everything was in its mature state. I'll go over each term and try to explain each term of this position of Yehoshua ben Levi, which would be a defense for Rabbi Eliezer. And the statement of Yehoshua ben Levi is that Maisa Breishis, Bikom Asam Nivru, everything was created in their height, meaning in their full mature height. People were created as mature people. Trees were created as mature trees. Everything was done Bikom Asam. And so that means then that the trees that were created had fruit on them. You're right. Normally trees don't have fruit on in Tishrei. But this is Maisa Breishis. The trees have fruit. Lidatam nivru. Okay, this one's going to be a tough one. I'm admitting it right now. Rashi writes, what does that mean, lidatam nivru? Without Rashi, I would have said, right, everyone was created with their cognitive faculties. Mm-hmm. That's what I would have said, but that's not what Rashi says. Rashi writes, lidatam sha'alam im chafetzim lihibaros va'amru hein. They were asked the question, do you want to be created? And the response was, yes, I want to be created. Now, if we were just talking about people, I can even begin to understand that. And I just begin. But the fact that we're talking about trees and animals, very difficult to understand what exactly Rashi is referencing over here. Again, it's Medrash, so we don't have to understand it literally, but still, even in the world of Medrash, what exactly does this mean? It's difficult, I'm admitting. Litzivyonam nivru. And then what about Litzivyonam? What does that mean? Again, I go back to Rashi. Rashi says, Bitam echad ve'echad v'tfus kol echad. So everyone has its own genetic makeup, meaning how it's going to taste, how it's going to look, its mold. So everything, all that was formed and fashioned at the point of Maisa Breishis. Shenemar, and how do I know that all this is so? Back to the Gemara. Ve'yichul Hashem ha'aretz v'chol tzva'am. Altei kreit tzva'am el tzivyonam. In their colors, in their mold, basically, everything is genetically encoded so that it looks a certain way, and it will produce something similar to that which it is. And all this was said in defense of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, the world was created in Tishrei, and yet there's fruit on the tree. His response is, correct, there's fruit on the tree. The world was created in a mature fashion. That takes us to the end of that discussion and the end of that bright, so we continue. We're right in the middle of the Amud. And so now we're going to move on.
There's a whole concept of that. You know, like the grass that didn't grow until man prayed for it to come out, so that contradicts it.
That would be a good proof for Rabbi Eliezer. The grass is growing in.
It didn't grow until the man.
Okay, but it's a season. It's a season where it's supposed to rain. Okay, whatever. Listen, you can argue both ways. The Gemara successfully did that. Okay, the outline of today's daf, again, remember, on the bottom of Yud Hamed Beis, we had a Braisa. The Braisa talked about the machloksim between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehoshua. So the first debate was, what month was the world created? Rabbi Elazar says Tishrei, Rabbi Yehoshua says Nisan, and so we spent the last half an Amud going over more arguments for each position. Okay, next. We are back to that Braisa on the bottom of Yud Hamed Beis, and we're now quoting the next line of the Braisa, and that is, when were the Avos born? We're right in the middle of the Amud. Rabbi Elazar Omer on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Rabbi Elazar Omer Nain Shabbat Tishrei Noldu Avos. How do I know that the Avos were born in Tishrei? Shenemar v'yikalu al HaMelech Shlomo Kol Ish Yisrael B'yerech Ha'isanim. All the people gathered together with Shlomo. This is the building of the first Beis HaMikdash. This is during which Chag? Sukkos. And everyone gathered on the month of Esanim. So we're describing Tishrei as the month of Esanim. Why is Tishrei described as that month? Bechagerech shenoldu bo Esanei ha'olam. It is the month in which the greats of this world were born. They were born in that month. So all the greats of this world, which would include Avram and it would include Yaakov. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, Yitzchak was born on Pesach. So we say Avos, but in this context, we just mean Avram and Yaakov. My The Gemara wants to know this word Eitan. How do I know that it means something which is strong? Gemara quotes pasuk after pasuk that describes Esan as being something which is strong. The pasuk in Bamidbar, Esan Moshevecha. The pasuk in Micha, Shimu Harim Es Riv Hashem Va'ayav. Right, the mountain should hear the calling of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Ha'esanim, and those that are great, most they are. And finally, Kol Dodi Hinei Zeba Shir Hashirim, Kol Dodi Hinei Zeba Medaleg Al Arim Mekapetz Al Gavos Medaleg Al Arim. It jumps over the mountains, skips over the mountains. Bizchus Avos. That's the merit of the forefathers, the patriarchs. Mekapetz Al Gavos. It jumps over the valleys. That's in, that's for the matriarchs. So once again, you see this idea that they are the Eitanim, they are the greats. Rabbi Yoshua Amar. Okay, that is all. Sorry, pause. That's all the opinion. Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that the Avos were born, Avram and Yaakov were born in Tishrei, based on this pasuk in Malachim Aleph, that Tishrei is described as the month of Eitanim. Rabbi Yoshua Amar Minan Sheb Nisan Oldu. Rabbi Yoshua says no. The Avos were born in the month of Nisan. Shenem Ravihi Bishmonim Shana V'Arba Meyoshana, in year 480 after the Exodus from Egypt. Latzeis Bnei Yisrael Meret Mitzrayim B'Shana HaRevi'is, in the fourth year, B'Chodesh Ziv, in the month of Ziv. B'Yerech Shenoldu Bo Ziv Sanei Olam, in the month that the radiant ones were born. That is the month of Nisan. Now, this drasha is a little bit difficult. It's a little bit challenging, because if you remember the Gemara that we did earlier in the Masechta, we did, Ziv was a description of which month exactly. It was not the month of Nisan. It was a month after the month of Nisan. It was actually the month of Iyar. So over here, the Gemara is trying to bring a proof that the Avos were born in the month of Nisan, quoting this pasuk, having it be described as the month of Ziv, but the month of Ziv, quite frankly, is the next month. Not Nisan, but Iyar. So it is a bit of a challenge, this drasha. Rashi appreciates this. Rashi recognizes this. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Bechodesh Ziv, Iyar hu. So first of all, Rashi is straightforward. Rashi says that Ziv is the month of Iyar. Shenoldu bo Ziv sanei olam. And then let's go look at the next Rashi. Kishenitzchadesh Iyar, noldu kvar b'nisan. So one way to resolve the issue, says Rashi, is that when we hit the month of Iyar, meaning the Ziv month, so they were born already. They were just born. Okay, that's one way to that's one way to address the issue, says Rashi. Inami zimna denisa det kufa nimshach besoch Iyar shel levana. Or we could be talking seasonally. We know that in addition to having months, we also go by seasons as well. Seasons obviously are based on the solar calendar, not on the lunar calendar. So it could very well be that we are speaking here not in terms of a actual lunar month, but we're talking about a specific season. In the season of Ziv, meaning in the spring season, that's when they were born. Another possible way of how to deal with this problem, that Ziv is really a reference to Iyar, not to Nisan. Back to the Gemara. B'yerech ha'isanem, sorry, what just happened? Shana Ziv Meretz Mitzrayim, B'shana Reviz, B'chodesh Ziv, B'yerech Shanod, B'ziv Sanei Olam. Good. V'hak Ziv, we are now in the first wide line of the Amud, a little bit more than halfway down. What are you going to do with the fact that the Torah describes Tishrei as the month of Esanim? Hasim de tkifa be mitzvos. Esanim, yes, means strong. But you know what strong is a reference to? Not to the Avos. In this context, it's a reference to Tishrei being a strong month. It is laden with mitzvos. Tons of mitzvos in the month of Tishrei. Shofar, Yom HaKippurim, Sukkah. I'm reading Rashi, right? I'm sorry. I know. I'm just. But Shofar, Yom Kippur, Sukkah, Lulav, Arava, Nisach Hamayim, Mitzvah after Mitzvah in the month of Tishrei. By the way, Nisan also has a lot of mitzvahs as well. I don't know how. Maybe it's just a quantitative issue. I don't know. But anyway, fine. And back to the Gemara. V'idach nami iksiv b'chodesh Ziv. What about the fact that the Torah describes the month of Nisan or the season of Nisan as the Ziv season? So the Gemara says, "Odis be Ziv say Zive li ilane." No, that's not talking about the forefathers. It's talking about the trees. The trees' splendor is being demonstrated in the month of Nisan. You get to Nisan, you get to the spring, you see the blossoming of the fruit, and what do? I'm proud to report I did it this year, thanks to the good doctor over there. You go out and you make a bracha. And the Gemara over here mentions it. The Gemara in Brachas also mentions it. Da'amar Rav Yehuda Haiman Denafik B'Yuma Nisan. Person goes out in the month of Nisan. V'chaze Ilanei De Milav Levei. And he sees a tree that's blossoming. Omer Baruch Shalochirser Me Olamo Klum. Uvar Bo Brios Tovos V'Ilanos Tovos Lihisnaos Behem B'nei Adam. The Gemara gives us the entire Nusach HaBracha that one's supposed to see when he sees a blossoming tree in the month of Nisan. Now, going on in the Braisa. Now we spoke about the birth of the Avos, where they burn in Tishrei, where they're born in the Nisan. Machlokis, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar says Tishrei, Rabbi Yeshua says Nisan. Now we talk about the death of the Avos. So if you say that they were born in the month of Nisan, and they die in the month of Nisan. Mandam, Rabbi Tishrei, Nolda, Rabbi Tishrei, Mesu. And if you say that they were born in the month of Tishrei, they die in the month of Tishrei. Meaning, in this regard, their death is going to be predicated on their birth. They will die in the same month that they're born. Why is that? Shenemar. Moshe died on the day that he was born. And the Gemara says that is the sign that he was Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the sign of a tzaddik. Yamai ushnosai. Today was the conclusion of my days and of my years. Meaning I completed. Right? It's like a mission accomplished. And what's the siman that the mission was accomplished? That you're dying the day that you're born. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes a tzaddik and has him die on the day that he's born. It's a siman that he's complete. He completed his mission. Shenamar is mispar yamecha amalei. I will fill out the days of your years, meaning you will not get an incomplete. You'll get a full check. This is, restricted, limited to tzaddikim of this world. But Pesach, fine, period. Okay, so Adkan. So that explains now the machlokus in terms of when did they die. It's just simply a function of when they were born. So if you have them born in Tishrei, they're going to die in Tishrei. And if you have them born in Nisan, they're going to die in Nisan. Next. But Pesach nolad Yitzchak. Yitzchak was born on Pesach. Now this was a point that was agreed to by both Tanaim. You go back over that Braisa. That Braisa, again, the entire structure of today's daf, everything is based on that first Braisa that we start on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis. So on this point, Pesach, Yitzchak was born on Pesach, and there's no disagreement. Minal and Dichziv. So the Gemara says, and you see that, you got to open up the beginning of Parshas Vayera, and you read it as the Malachim go and visit Avram and Sarah. Avram just experiences Bris Milah, he's not feeling well, Kadosh Baruch Hu brought out the sun, it's really hot, and yet he's waiting for visitors. Out comes the Malachim. So, and they give him news. And what's the news that they give him? Dichsiv lamoed ashevelecha. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to come back lamoed. Yantiv, I'll come back again in Yantiv. Now we understand Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, hundreds of years before Matan Torah, right? Yantiv. So and then we also understand, yeah. Right. However, we understand it, but they had some concept of what Yontif meant, of what Pesach meant, of what Sukkot meant, of what Shavuos meant. They had a concept, and so he says, "I'm going to come back Moed." So Amos Kai. So the Gemara says, "Now, when is the conversation happening, and when are they coming back?" So Elam Ebe Pesach Kamalei Batzares. So are they having a conversation on Pesach? And he says, "I'm come back next Yontif." Okay, so we're right in that time slot, right? We just had Pesach over a month ago, and now, right, half a month away from us right now is coming up Shavuot. So that's 50 days. I think we knew that. We're counting. So the Gemara says, but the problem, of course, is that the tiding was you're going to have a son. Can't have a child in 50 days. That doesn't work that way. So, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. You don't have a child in 50 days later. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe it went like this. Maybe they were speaking to Avram and Sarah on Shavuos, and the baby's going to come the next Yantav, which is Sukkot. The Gemara says, that's also not possible. No, you don't have a child 5 months later. Okay. Ella dekai b'chag v'kamerle b'nisan. So the Gemara says that they were at, must have been Sukkot time, and Nisan, it's going to be the next Yontif, which was 6 months later. So the Gemara says, six months, okay, now at least we're closer, but having a baby 6 months later, Akanti b'shita yarchim ikayalda. So Tana, Oso Shana Mu'ber Saisa. So the Gemara says, okay, but that year was a Nibir year. Good. So now we got another month. Okay, is that good? It's better. So Sof Kimadle Mar, you may...
I think that if the Nibir month, that was other already. It doesn't come during the pregnancy, the extra month.
What? I'm lost. In other words, the Sukkot was the tiding, and
so this, but she became pregnant
right after Sukkot.
Is that right?
No. You're going on what you know, which is good, meaning because that's Rashi and Chumash. And, but in other words, right now the Gemara is assuming Sukkot. Okay. So Sukkot she got pregnant and then she had the baby on Pesach. So the Gemara says sof ki madle mar yumetuma. So the Gemara says, yeah, but at that time, Sarah was a Nida. Rashi points out, how do we know that? Tumas Nida, de Kaimalan, Sarah Imeno, Oso Ayom Parsanida. So the Rashi tells us that at that moment when they were visited by the Malachim, Sarah was a Nida. So she could not have gotten pregnant right at the Yontif. And Rashi says, and by the way, how do we know this? Rashi, continuing in Rashi, sorry, meno also ayam parsanida lefichach veikach chema vechalav uben bakar va'lo ha'ugos shelashesa hi betuma. She wouldn't bring out the cakes that she needed because she needed the cakes. The cakes now are tame. Now, obviously, right? They're malachim, and even if the cakes are tame, we're allowed to eat food which is tame. Kohanim can't eat Shuma, which is Tameh. So, okay, I don't understand all of it. I'm admitting I don't understand all of it. But anyway, neither here nor there. The point is, she was a Nida. She didn't get pregnant right then and there. I'm a Mazutra. So the Mazutra says, you know what? It still could work out. Why? Because Afila Mandam, Yoles Latisha, and Yoles Makutayim, but Yoles Lashiva, Yoles Lame. Kutaim. Shenema v'yil tkufas hayamim, miyut tkufas shtayim, umiyut yamim shnayim. Basically, it comes out like follows. Meaning, and we've discussed this time and again whenever we discussed women in gestation, from the perspective of the Gemara. From the perspective of the Gemara, there are only two options for a woman to come to full term. Full term is either a 9-month pregnancy or a 7-month pregnancy. There is, from a Gemara perspective, there is no such thing as an 8-month pregnancy. It does not exist. And if, God forbid, the child comes out in the 8th month, so from the Gemara's perspective, that's it. The child will not be a sustained child. It cannot survive that pregnancy. And from the Gemara's perspective, if it's a 9-month pregnancy, it's full 9 months. It's not during the 9 months. The child has to go through a full gestation of 9 months. By the way, the Gemara says this. The word herayon, which is the Hebrew word for pregnancy. What's the gematria of the word herayon? You've heard this before. The gematria of the word herayon, 271. 271, the full 9 months of a 9-month gestation period. Good. But and then there are, the other option is to go through a 7-month gestation period. But in the 7-month gestation period, the Gemara acknowledges that doesn't have to be a full 7 months. The baby can come out at any point during the 7 months, even in the beginning of the 7th month. So truth be told, is that 6 months and a couple days, and the baby can come out, a viable baby can come out. Again, all this from the perspective of the Gemara. So now, can we have the news being delivered on Sukkot and Yitzchak being born on Pesach? The answer is absolutely. Now, generally, it's a 6-month period between the two, but we'll add another month. What about the fact that Sarah was a Nida on Sukkot itself? The Gemara says that's fine, because when we give ourselves another month, the pregnancy can occur immediately after Sukkot, and the baby can be delivered on Pesach, and it'll be a little bit over 6 months. Huh? The Gemara's assume. I don't know. I don't know exactly how that works. I don't know. But let's just. It's the point the Gemara's making is that it's possible. Okay. Next. And by the way, the Pesukim, which I didn't explain well, by Yil Tkufas Hayamim, that was by Chana. right? Chana, who was also praying for a child, so she delivered her Shmuel 6 months and 2 days after the after conception.
Does anybody mention why 8 months?
Huh?
Is there any comment about why 8 months is no good?
No. Again, that was just a reality that the Gemara dealt with. That was from the perspective of the Gemara. Why that is, I don't know. Rosh Hashanah Nifkada Sarach V'Chana. Rosh Hashanah Sarach V'Chana were considered. Pekida over here means a consideration. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered their plight and took that and responded. Okay, now obviously, by the way, based on what we're saying right now, the response didn't come immediately, but still, in other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu again, to the best of our understanding, turned his attention to it. So, Rosh Hashanah Nifkada Sarach V'Chana. Minal, the Gemara says, how do I know this? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Asya, Pekida Pekida, Asya, Zechira, Zechira. It's based on Gzera Shavas. Now, again, Gzera Shavas over here meaning Majashic Gzera Shavas. But still, Ksiv Rachel, the Torah says regarding Rachel. Vayiskor Elokim es Rachel, Kadosh Baruch Hu remembers Rachel. Uksiv Bachana Vayiskor Hashem. So you see the word Zechira, Kadosh Baruch Hu remembers. Ve'asya Zechira Zechira Rosh Hashanah. And of course, when we think about Zechira, so you think Rosh Hashanah. And there's a good reason why you think that. De'achsiv Shabbason Zichron Trua. When describing the blowing of the shofar, it's referred to as Zichron Trua. It reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Reminding someone who's omniscient. Okay, you try to explain that to people. So the Pekida Pekida Ksiv Bechana Ki Pakad Hashem Es Chana. Kadosh Baruch Hu remembers Chana Ksiv Basar Vashem Pakad Es Sarah. Okay, so again, so you have a number of sukkim that link Chana and Sarah together. So they were considered on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Yatzi Yosef Mibeis Hashem. Yosef came out of jail on Rosh Hashanah. How do we know that? So Minal Dechsiv. So the Gemara says we're going to go back to that pasuk. We got a lot out of this pasuk. We squeezed a lot of drushes out of this pasuk. This is the Perek in Tehillim. We say it every Thursday. Shir Shol Yom. Tiku bechodesh Shofar bekesel yom chagenu ki chok li Yisrael hu. Okay? We know that the description to Rosh Hashanah, we went over this before. Just a couple days ago we went over this. It is the chag in which the moon is covered. That was Rashi's explanation. That's the one we're going to work with. So, Edus biyosef shemo but say so. And then you go on in the Psukim. And what happens in the continuation of the Psukim, in this parak in Tehillim, Yosef left prison. So again, so that's a proof that Yosef left on the Chag of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah batla avodah me'avasenim in Mitzrayim. On Rosh Hashanah, we stop working in Mitzrayim. We're on the top of Yad Aleph Amud Beis. How do we know this? So again, so that means then that even though we left Egypt in Nisan, but 6 months prior to that, already we stopped working. We left the bondages of Egypt. And once again, we go back to the pasuk, that parak in Tehillim, right? The 81st parak of Tehillim. And what does it say? And again, that parak in Tehillim is describing Rosh Hashanah. That's how that parak started, like we mentioned a moment ago. The Tikkur B'chol Shofar Bekesel Chagenu, the day we blow shofar, which is Rosh Hashanah. So we know that's talking about Rosh Hashanah, and what does it say? It says, the Hasirosi Miseva Shechmo. We remove the burdens of servitude. And then, what's going to be our last point for today? Benisan Nigala. We redeemed the Nisan. So the Gemara says, one word comment on that, Kedi'isa. Open a chumash, yeah, right, and you'll see that we left Mitzrayim in the month of Nisan. B'tishrei asidin legal. Is this a good place to stop? Oh, let's just do this next point and then we'll stop. Asir shofar shofar k'siv hacha tiku b'chol shofar k'siv hasam yom ahu yitakab shofar gadol. Okay, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, the geul asida, the future redemption is going to occur on the month that we blow shofar. The Pasuk Yishayahu says, on that day is a reference to the future of redemption, Yitakab Shofar Gadol, we're going to blow that shofar. And obviously, blowing of the shofar is associated with Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees on this point. Rabbi Yeshua Amar, B'nisan Nigala, B'nisan Etitin Ligal. No, Nisan is the month of redemption. Minal and Amakra, Lel Shimarim, Lel HaMishumar Uva, Misheshes yimei abreshes. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guarding that day. Guarding that day, so for us that we're going to be redeemed. V'idech laila mishumar avam min amazikin. And then, what is the counter argument to that? No. This is a night which was already going to protect us from any mazik, and we're not going to be harmed on the night of Pesach. Okay, we'll end today with just one point. We said that we stopped working in Egypt in the month of Tishrei. We went 6 months without work. I strongly recommend you to open up a Netziv in the beginning of Parshas Va'era. It's fantastic. He writes, the Netziv writes in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, that we drink 4 cups of wine on Pesach. So why should that be? So the Gemara never mentions why. Did you know? Right, you knew that, right? We went through the Gemara Pesachim. So the Gemara never says why we drink 4 cups of wine on Pesach. So the Rashbam brings down in the beginning of the 10th parak of Pesachim, we drink it because of the Dal Lashana Shel Geula. That's not in the Gemara. It's the he brings it down based on the Medrash. So the Dal Lashana Shel Geula. And the Netziv writes on his commentary to Parshas Va'era. What does that mean? It means that we were taken out of Egypt in stages, meaning each cup that we drink represents a different stage of redemption. And so you see our Gemara right over here. He actually points to our Gemara. You see our Gemara over here, meaning we didn't just get out of Egypt. We stopped working 6 months prior. And the Gemara over here quotes the Pasuk Vahotzeisi, meaning we didn't physically leave Egypt, but we entered a new stage of redemption. Each cup represents a different stage of redemption. So take a look at the Netziv over there who gives and he elaborates on this point much better than I'm doing right now. Okay, Ad Kan, we stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Go over the Pesukim and Noach for tomorrow. It's important just to get the rest of it. And a little constellation for talk for tomorrow as well. Okay,